I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
How you doing on your debts? How you doing on your debts? Have you ever paid off a huge debt? Raise your hand, just curious. Paid off a huge, like a mortgage on a house, right? Did you celebrate? Yeah. Most people, you're the exception that proves the rule, my dear. Most people, you know, you have to because we're debt-free. We finally own it. We own it. Somebody called Dave Ramsey. We paid off our debts. Mortgage-burning parties are fairly common because a weight is lifted when a big old debt is paid. That's just the way it is. And I thought this is a good chance to tell you about this church, your church, because we together are in debt here. But the only debt that His Place has is for the property and the buildings that we bought years and years ago that we're still paying on. But we just, like, we're in the process right now. We just refinanced the remainder of our loan. And in the process of refinancing, it came to someone's attention, and they stepped up and paid $50,000 on the principal. And that's something for us to celebrate, right? So, yeah. I mean, thank you, Lord. That's incredible. Everybody say, woo! That's our debt. Now, just so you know, because you might be curious, we still owe $364,000, which isn't that much because it's for this whole everything here. It's actually, I can see the end. The end is near and we'll be completely out of debt. And then we will be debt free. So all that just to say, if anyone else is feeling especially generous... I have to tell on myself something that I've not told you before. I had this, and I think some of you have crazy business ideas. You'll relate to this. I had this crazy business idea 10 years ago. Now it doesn't seem that long, but 10 years ago, Shar and I were in Hawaii, and I saw this right here. This red, that's me seeing it. This red 1960 MGA in a clothing store. See the poster right by my head of Elvis Presley in that red MGA? It's because this car was featured in the Elvis movie Blue Hawaii, which was made along with the year that car was made when Hawaii became a state. And so both of those things are highly associated, and the movie is still very popular over in Hawaii. So I'm out running the next morning, and I run past an exotic car rental lot. And they have Corvettes and Ferraris and different things. And as I'm running, this thought hits me. Rent my Roadster in Hawaii, just like in the movie. What if you got the actual little vintage Roadsters, the little red ones like Elvis drove in Blue Hawaii, and you rented them in Hawaii? Anyway, I couldn't let go of the idea. So I came home and bought one. On credit, okay? That's it, that's in my yard. I'm just toying with the idea, just a toy. And then I put together a pretty good business plan, and I got a business license just for fun. And then I found that insurance was real easy to obtain, which I did. And then I got a website and two more cars. And just like that, they owned me. Now, there is an old Jewish proverb I think a lot of us can relate to, and it's about possessions. The first day, they call you master. The second day, they call you brother. And the third day, they call you slave. Well, I ended up with those three masters right there. And I tell you this story to tell you the end, which is maybe the most freeing feeling I've felt in years, and it was that freeing feeling of a weight lifting after selling those cars and watching the last one drive away. Oh, because I was able to repay the HELOC that I used to buy them. Some of you know what a HELOC is, right? Home equity line of credit. So easy, so sneaky. You get a checkbook, You just get a check, but you can just write checks. You can just buy stuff. And every time you do, you're borrowing against the home, the part of your home you already own, right? It's a home equity line of credit. And so ironically, as you buy stuff, it decreases what you own because it increases what you owe. And sin is very much like that. Except with sin, we borrow against life to buy death. Here's a riddle. Besides Jesus and the sign above his head on the cross, what else was nailed to that cross?
Our sin.
That's true. I want to just read that. Something else. Our debt. Our debt of death. I'll show you in a second. I just want to say it's because our dirty deeds bury us in debt with no way to repay. And so if you are a believer, well, then when you were dead in your transgressions, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt, having nailed it to the cross. And so when you see Jesus on the cross, an image of Jesus on the cross, think about the fact that he was nailing some stuff of his own up there, including our debt of death. We're debt free if we own our faith. And so we sing his praise because he paid our debt. And he lifted the weight of sin and death, right? And he set us free. Now, when it comes to the enemy, you talk about HELOC. He locks us in and throws away the key. But when it comes to the Lord, he unlocks our shackles and throws away the debt. Just exactly the opposite. But you might ask then, how does sin increase our debt? What are we talking about? Sin increases our debt. Who do we owe? Why? And what's it mean? What's that mean? Sounds good. What does it mean to borrow against life? And so I'll give it to you in a nutshell. It starts with the fact that you and I were given life. This was given to us, right? We're not self-made, but lovingly created. So we come into this world owing, kind of like a baby with its parents, we come into this world owing our perfect creator father perfect love for him and for all his creation under all circumstances and at all times. And so we're told, be perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly father is perfect. You know, and here's what that means. Just love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, because that's how he loves you and me. And then love your neighbor as yourself, because all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So there you go. Got to start with what you owe. And what we owe is the only life-giving debt. It's the debt of love and gratitude, which is perfectly expressed in total, tireless devotion, which is a commitment you made to Jesus, and it is a commitment we make to others. It is a commitment we gladly make and happily pay when we find the love of our life. Like Paul calls himself a bondservant. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Bondservant was a slave who chooses a lifetime of service after being set free. Has such rich meaning. You know, it's a slave that's set free and goes, well, but I love you all and I want to stay with this family. And so that's what Paul says. I'm like that. Set apart for the gospel, literally the good news of God. Okay? I want you to notice that Paul does not say he was set apart from something. It's all about perspective. He was set apart for something. I think about when Char and I got married, so young, 41 years ago. When Char and I got married, I sure wasn't thinking about the women I was being set apart from. I wasn't on my mind, no. The only thing on my mind was the one that I was eagerly, gratefully, joyfully being set apart for. And she for me. And likewise, as the body and bride of Christ, we commit to absolute appreciation and unadulterated love in all ways, at all times. Because while we were buried in debt, he died for us, right? He gave everything when we gave nothing. So when it comes to our heart, we owe him 100%. And sin, you want a good definition of sin? Sin is simply the failure to fulfill our obvious obligation. So with that in mind, that 100% in mind, how you doing on your debts? How you doing on those debts? I confess that I'm in the red on a daily basis, which is why Jesus offers us the daily forgiveness of our debts in his outline for the perfect conversation, the perfect daily conversation with our Father. But in the Lord's Prayer, the forgive us our debts, he is not referring there to the debt of sin that he paid to save us and unite us with our Father. That price was paid just once for all on the cross, okay? Because as the scripture says that we often quote here, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us this day our daily debts in the very same way and to the very same degree as we forgive this day our daily debtors. You see, when we ask Jesus for forgiveness for our sin the first time, we do so in order to establish a relationship with God as our Father. We just boom, and then it's established. If we're sincere, right? But then after we've been set debt free, we approach our daily debts differently. Because thankfully, our daily failures don't affect our standing as God's children. Read that with me, please. Our daily failures don't affect our standing as God's children. No, that is part of the process of being made holy. It's like with our own kids. When we're disobedient, he's still our dad. Just sad. Because of our loss of closeness and harmony and his ability to bless. But he's still our Father, because defiance breaks fellowship, not relationship. Let's read that together. Defiance breaks fellowship, not relationship. Whew! Which is why we daily ask for our Father's grace to restore our harmony. You know, sorry, Dad, messed up again. But then you might wonder, how do we know if we're experiencing like the daily relational debt? Because I'm messing up all the time. So how do I know if it's the daily relational debt of God's children versus like the debt of death of the self-deceived who talk like they're saved but aren't truly sincere? And maybe, I don't know. That's a good question. With a very simple answer, here's how to tell if you're a genuine child of God. You can't sin against him without feeling the guilt. That's the simplest way in the world. If you're a genuine child of God, you're going to feel guilty if you sin against him. And that's good. That's good, because good guilt was designed to be painful, to compel us to resolve it. Sadly, however, many try to suppress it, right? Or numb it away, or rationalize it, or run from it rather than deal with it. But healthy guilt is like a warning light. That's it. That's all. Just picture a pilot, you know, trying to ignore a flashing warning signal as they're flying that plane. Just either just disregarding it or justifying it or just drinking it away. We'll land this baby, don't you worry. Well, guilt is our warning that something needs fixing. It's not supposed to stay on you. We must fix what's wrong and move on. And with guilt, the only fix is forgiveness. And that's true of God and others around us. Because that weight only lifts when we live debt-free. Otherwise, guilt makes us feel like garbage, which is why it gets such a horrible name. And it piles up fast. There is this horribly misogynistic joke by Henny Youngman. I'm going to tell it, but just so we can make a point of not laughing at it, okay? He said, my wife ran after the garbage men the other day yelling, am I too late? They took one look and said, no, lady, jump in. Very insensitive. I'm against jokes like that. I'm especially against one that has nothing to do with the message, but it's one where he said, I'm not saying my, I don't know why I find this so funny. It's a glimpse into my horrible nature, why I need daily forgiveness. I'm not saying my wife's a bad cook, but the flies pitched in to fix a hole in the screen door. Man, I think that's funny. So insensitive. Have you ever forgot garbage day? You know, you forget to put the can out, right? Oh, and then you have to wait a whole week. And the cans are full of the old garbage. And it really starts to stink. And especially if you've had like crab or shrimp or something. And, oh, no. And then you have to stuff the new garbage down on top of the old garbage, right? Isn't it great when garbage day comes again? Right? He's like, ah, the can's empty. Same with sin. Same with our sin, only our heart is the can, and every day is garbage day. And you might say, but what about when we take our daily debts to our Father, and I'm totally sincere, and yet I struggle with feeling forgiven and cleansed? I just don't feel it. Which makes it impossible to love ourselves as he loves us. Which makes it impossible to properly love others as we love ourselves. But I'm here to tell you, this can only happen to the degree that we are unaware of the four ways that our Father forgives us. Because if you know these four things, then you can't not feel cleansed and forgiven if you're sincere when you ask. For instance, number one, our Father forgives our daily debts instantly. Just instantly. You know, but you know why we have such a hard time with this? Because it's the opposite way that we offer forgiveness. That's not how we offer it. You know, when someone wrongs us, we like to hold it over them. We don't want to let them off too easy. We want to watch them grovel and beg just a little bit. Because I think there's a reason behind it. I think we're trying to balance like the universe by making them feel the hurt that they caused. But sadly, that act of self-worship self-sabotages our ability to believe what we've received. Because our reluctance to offer impairs our ability to receive. But remember the prodigal son? Remember when the prodigal returns to his father, ashamed, he's stinking like pig slop. Well, the boy had three things planned that he was going to say. It's right here. He said, I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. But here's the thing. While he was still a long way off, the father saw him because he was eagerly waiting and watching. and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him before the kid had a chance to say anything, before any apology was made. And so as they finished the embrace, and his dad is kissing him, he probably pushes him back, and the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father cut him off and said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him." And then I assume said to his son, "You had me at I had sinned." And that's Jesus saying, that's our Father. The Father opens his arms before the Son opens his mouth. That's our Father. And you know why that is? Because our Father wants to forgive more than we want to ask. Which is why God demonstrates his own love, because boy, you're not going to find it among us to that degree. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And just as our initial once for all salvation debt is forgiven the moment we receive it, our daily relational debts are forgotten the moment we confess them. Because secondly, our Father forgives our daily debts completely. And those who don't trust that are persistently tempted to see their hardships as kind of God's way of getting even. But he wrote out his promise very clearly, saying, "I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more." You see, he permanently deletes every sin that he's cleansed, every debt he's paid. Not the consequences, because we need those to grow, but the damage they'd otherwise do to our relationship. And if God deletes it, ain't no IT gonna recover it. So if you get to heaven and you happen to say something like, "Hey, about that sin, you know, that you forgave," he'll cut you off and say, "Forgiven sin. I distinctly remember forgetting that." You say, "But how can that be? If he's God, how can he just forget it?" Think about it. It's something you do. How long do you remember a debt that you've paid? Electric bill, gas bill, whatever. How much was your water bill in June of last year? You see, once they're paid, we put them out of mind. And you know why? Because they're paid. There's no reason to think about them again. They're gone. Get this. A debt only exists until it's paid, and then it doesn't even exist. It disappears. And you go, "Yeah, but I return so often with the same stinking struggle." Well, then jump into this third truth. Our Father forgives our daily debts repeatedly. You ever feel like he must get tired of hearing you confess the same old stuff? Like he's thinking, "Can't your sin at least be original?" Well, take heart. From the beginning. That's what the whole Bible's about. I mean, the entire Old Testament. From the beginning, his kids have always been stubborn in sin. And yet, because he knows the heart, he knows whose stubborn hearts are actually his. Nehemiah writes, they refused to obey. And as if that wasn't bad enough, they rebelled. But you are a God of forgiveness, always ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, which is why when they abandoned you, you didn't abandon them. So how often is he ready to pardon? Always, always. Like a mother, a child, and a bathtub. That's yours truly and my sister, and no, I did not ask her permission to show it. I love playing in that greasy old wrecking yard, and the moment I would come in, Mom would yell, "Take off your clothes and get in the tub." And then she would take a bar of lava soap, remember that, and go to town. Well, you got to see, washing his kids' filthy hearts is what he signed up for. He knew it going in. I mean, he made us from dirt, right? Hear this loud and clear. Our Father never tires of cleansing our sin. Not that he's indifferent to it or undisturbed by it, but because he's extremely determined to have an eternal family and specifically to have you in it. So, he made you perfect forever so that he can go to town on making you holy. So take off your excuses and get in the tub. And finally, number four, since we, like children, have no way to repay, he forgives our daily debts freely. Yeah, sounds too good to be true. There's no free lunch. Not true. With your folks, you're growing up. Those lunches were all free, right? But true, somebody had to pay, and free forgiveness wasn't cheap. He became like us so he could die for us, so he could freely forgive us. Why? Well, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Which means if you and I, if we simply, humbly, sincerely confess our sins, that's all. Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so there will be no begging or bargaining. Receive it or don't, but don't distort it or diminish it by trying to add something to it. I'll leave you with this analogy because it's very similar to the Lincoln Memorial. It ain't for sale. Okay? And if it was, you couldn't afford it. But if you're a citizen, it's already yours. Just for the asking, just like the freedom of forgiveness. So let's pray. Father God, we love you and adore you for your eagerness to forgive us and cleanse us. Holy Spirit, remind us to allow you to free us each day from our daily debts. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for the price you paid so we can live debt-free. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.